Not saying anything, just keeping your mouth quiet. Right, just bear with me. Right, page one. This week has been quite a week because we've had a new bathroom put in and got a nice walk-in shower now, so I don't have to climb into the bath to have a shower and climb out of the bath when I'm done. So we're all really excited about this, me and Roy, because we've waited a long time for it. And it's been a really traumatic week because of the drilling and the banging, and the house is just covered in dust everywhere, and it still is a couple of days later. And it probably will be till after Christmas now. So it was quite traumatic at times because there was this drill going on, and it felt like it was vibrating in my head, and there was nowhere to go to escape, like this. But the guy was really good and did a really good job. And eventually he came down and he said, right, it's all done. He removed all the rubbish. He was very thorough. He said, everything's done now. He said, it's finished. Come and have a look. And I went in, and it's like going into a posh hotel now, not my little scruffy bathroom. Anyway, so I goes into the shower and he showed me different things and I'm really pleased. And then he says, you can't use it for 48 hours. And I looked at him and said, what? He said, you can't use it for 48 hours. It's got to all dry out and everything. So here I am, having spent 4 or 5 days with dust all over me, my hair is itching and my clothes are filthy, and I'm thinking, okay. So I had to wait these 48 hours before I could use a shower. So on the day that I could use a shower, I leapt out of bed, which is unusual, and went into the shower and thought, wow, this is great. Now, before, we had just a thing that was over the bath. It had a little box. It was heated. But you would literally, it was about that big, the shower head, and you'd turn it on, and then you'd leap backwards because it would come out all cold, and you had to wait till it, and you just sort of go, oh, no, like this, till eventually you could walk under and have your shower. So I goes into this walk-in shower, and now we have a shower head that's like that. And I looked up at it, and I thought, oh, crikey. So I sort of did what I normally do, sort of stand back and press the button like this. But hot water came out at just the temperature that I wanted it to be. And it was amazing. So I sort of gets in, I'm thinking, wow, this is fantastic, this is. And normally I have to spend a lot of time with this little handheld thing rinsing my hair. I've got a lot of hair, so it takes a while to get all the soap out of it and then the conditioner out of it and everything else. But I just put my head under this thing and it went whoosh. And I thought, I'm done. So out I go. And it was really exciting, but as probably sounds really silly to you, but for me it was exciting. So as I was coming out of the shower, I just felt God say to me, many of my children come to me as if I am like the old shower, but I am their father and I want to drench them in my love and my peace and my joy. And I sort of stood there and thought, oh, right, okay. And sort of thinking about it as I got dressed and everything. Jesus said, in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he means the Spirit whom those who believed were later to receive. And it just really, I've just had a shower. So anyway, as I was sort of getting dressed and thinking about what I felt God had said to me, I realise that it's our choice. It's our choice to have a little of the Lord or a lot of the Lord. Our choice. He doesn't choose. And sometimes you sort of feel that, oh, he's not hearing, he's not listening to me. Well, actually, it's us. The problem is with us. And he just wants us to just go and soak in him and wait on him and speak to him. And it's our choice, not his. The little shower did its job. But now I don't want to go back to it because the new one's better. And again, it made me think about spending time with the Lord. And we can go and give him 10 minutes here, half an hour there, maybe an hour, thinking almost that we've done him a favour. But actually, it's him. It's all about him. And we can have as much as we want.
Amen.
There's no limit. There's absolutely no limit with God. He showed me that many people want more of him and want more of his presence, etc. But they are waiting for him to go to them. And you hear people sometimes say, oh, I don't hear God. Oh, God doesn't speak to me. Oh, you know, he seems so far away. But they think that that's him, but it's not. It's them. It's us. It's up to us, the amount of time that we spend with him. And the more time we spend with him, the closer we get to him, the more we know him, the more we understand him, and the more he can show us. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come. He doesn't say wait. He says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
There are times when you least expect it, he shows up. You know, you're not expecting it. He's just there because he's amazing and he loves us. But we should go to him and call on him and wait on him, and he will come. Now, I've known Barbara for a long, long time, and we're very good friends. And we get together, we share with each other, we get together and have coffee and have a bit of a laugh and a giggle. And I think that the garden centre sometimes sort of thinks, undercover, they're coming, and we just bubble in. And they know a lot about me, and I know a lot about them. So we understand each other. And we have a very good relationship, a close relationship, because we choose to spend time with each other. We phone each other up, we text each other, we go for coffee, and spend time together. And I sort of feel that the Lord is saying, I want you to do that with me. I want you to come and be with me. I mean, you can't have a cup of coffee with him necessarily, but you can. But he wants us to go to him, spend time with him, because he knows everything about us, but we need to learn more about him, and we can only do that by going and spending time with him. We can... God knows everything, but he wants us to go to him with our issues, and that takes faith sometimes, but he always responds, not always how or when we expect it, and maybe not always how we want it, but he will always respond. It's good to go to meetings and meet up and share, but we also need to learn to stand in faith when alone.
Amen.
We won't always have the freedom to meet freely and encourage each other and pray with each other. We need to learn to lean 100% on the Father.
Amen.
We should be close to each other. We'd be sharing with each other. We should be standing with each other. But it's the Father we need to lean on, not each other. I also felt, as I was sort of sitting, spending time with the Lord, that the world is changing, and it's not changing for the good. We need, in this day and age, to cling to God and stand on his word. Life today is not for the children like it was for me or most of you as children. It's changed so much. Moral standards have changed. There are children that have got two mums or two dads. There are children who don't even know who their parents are. And it's not safe to let your children go out in the way that I could go out as a child. We'd go for miles on our bikes at the age of about 6 or 7. Totally safe. Things have changed so much. Satan is destroying or trying to destroy family life. And I don't need to list all the things he's doing, but if you stop and be still, you will hear the march of the enemy seeking to kill and destroy. But if you seek the Lord, you will hear the marching of another army, God's army, and it's louder, and it's stronger, and it's bigger. It's time to stop waiting and hoping that God will show up. He's here. He's right here, and he's holding out his sword to us and a shield and armor. We need to grab them and put them on and begin to march. We need to be ready to time. That time is short. We need to seek him like we've never done before.
Amen.
And I just want to read... Take my glasses off for this, because we'll read from Mark 13. I think it's... Right, yes. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" Replied Jesus, "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things will happen and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled." Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many." It's so important to be close to God and know him so that you won't be deceived. "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached in all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing there, it does not belong. Let the reader understand then that those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetops go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in these days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because these will be the days of distress, unequal from the beginning when God created the world until now, and you are to be equal, never to be equaled again. And as I was reading that last night, I just thought, wow, it's almost coming, well, it is coming true. As you look around us now and the things that are going on, I mean, you've got one country that is on fire and they can't put the fires out. You've got another place where it's been flooded and people are losing their homes and everything they've got. Moral standards, as I said earlier, things are changing. So I just felt that God is saying to us to rise up, to meet with him, to be with him, spend time with him. It's important to spend quality time with him, not little chats here, little chats there. It's not like a phone call when you ring up and say, blah, 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 okay, bye, and put the phone down. He needs you to spend time. We need to spend time with him and also time with each other. It's important that we get together, maybe not even just on a Sunday, but get together, share with each other, meet up with each other, encourage each other, lift each other up. It's important. We are in a battle, and the battle's coming to an end, and it's exciting because the Bible's coming true right before our very eyes. And I believe in even our lifetime, I'm 70 now, but I believe that even in my lifetime, the things are going to change so rapidly that Jesus could come back and just take me home, and I won't have to go through all the rigmarole of dying. He'll just come and get me. So I just felt that God wanted to share that with me. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much.